Welcome back to Street Talk Podcast, episode number 6, I believe. This is a year removed from our latest episode after we promised you to have weekly updates. We are not liars. I wouldn't say we're liars.
Well, we're kind of liars because we said this would probably be happening every other week, but, you know, life happens.
Life happens, guys. Stop judging us. I can feel the eyes through the microphone. I can
literally feel the 2,336 followers on a Twitter account judging us right now.
And it's disgusting.
Yeah. Shame on you. Shame on all of you.
We'll take some responsibility, but I think this is mainly your fault, and I don't blame you, but
also do blame you.
Ryan blames you. I don't blame you. We'll get back to our business, though. Today, we are here to talk about the Avery Bradley trade that occurred today with the Celtics. The Celtics sending Avery Bradley and a second-round draft pick over to the Detroit Pistons for Marcus Morris. Grand scheme of things, there have been mixed reactions across both the experts on Twitter and Reddit, and we're just here to kind of break down what we feel and how this is going to affect the Celtics moving forward.
Basically here to tell you how to feel.
And if you don't agree with us,
you're wrong.
Wrong. Well, I don't say you're wrong, but you're stupid.
Yeah, I mean, either you're wrong or you're stupid. So just agree with us.
One of the two.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, how do you feel about the trade?
I mean, honestly, the Celtics were, I mean, Danny Ainge was kind of in a rock and hard place, you know? They basically had to trade Smart, Bradley, or Crowder.
Who they should have traded.
Well, yeah, they probably should have traded. I mean, he's got a good deal. But they had to trade
Best contract in the NBA.
But they had to trade one of the three to get under the salary cap just to sign Gordon Hayward. So, you know, not a ton of leverage when trying to make a trade in that perspective. But they managed, you know, I mean, Avery Bradley, after this year, he was going to command 20-plus million. He only had this year left on his contract. So they get a decent player in return. I mean, Morris is, I say decent, probably an above-average player.
He's less than his brother. He shoots 36%, I believe, from three, but also a lot of that is also you have to take into account the fact that he plays on a pretty terrible Detroit Pistons team with terrible spacing since Andre Drummond can't shoot anything.
Black hole in the game.
Yeah, especially, and with Tobias Harris, it's
a forgot about Tobias Harris. It's two black holes in the middle of the game.
Poor offensive team, so whatever stats you pull from Marcus Morris, take them with a grain of salt in the current
stage. Though, to be fair, his rebounding is terrible. That stat can, you know, kind of remain solid.
But probably decent compared to the Celtics' current status. I believe 5 rebounds a game?
Just under five.
Just under five, which is, like, good enough for, like, fourth on the Celtics.
I mean, to be honest, how many did Al Horford have last season? All right, so a quick little Google search. Al Horford actually averaged 6.8 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
And 14 points, so like totally worth, you know, $30 million a year. But that's beyond the point.
It's the plays you don't see that count.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the plays you do see.
Ooh, those hard pick and rolls. Ooh, baby. That nice passing out of the post.
The best passing big man in the game.
Besides Marcus Gasol.
Oh, of course.
Which the Celtics may add in a trade.
Completely different podcast, though.
Yeah, that's another podcast for another day.
Yeah. But back to the Avery Bradley trade. I believe that in the grand scheme of things, obviously I would have preferred to trade Jay Crowder because I think that in the immediate future, Avery Bradley is more helpful to the team if you're going to try to take down Cleveland in a 7-game series. I'm going to ignore you and just keep talking, which is completely dependent on the fact that it's not going to happen. No matter who you trade, you're not going to beat Cleveland in the 7-game series. But I believe that Avery is more helpful to stop Kyrie. That being said, I think the value also of trading Jay Crowder is higher because Avery is a rental 1 year, while Jay Crowder has, I believe, 3 years left on his contract at a small forward position.
$6 million a year,
basically. Yeah, unfortunately, what is a huge drawback is that teams know that you have to trade Jay Crowder. which completely diminishes his trade value.
Or the Celtics just adopt positionless basketball.
Doesn't matter when you still have to fit Jay Crowder underneath the salary cap with Gordon Hayward. So they have to trade someone. I would have preferred them to have traded Jay Crowder because I think Avery Bradley is more has a more imminent impact on the team. And regardless of positionless basketball, I think Jay Crowder and his attitude are going to be pretty detrimental given his Twitter rants and his attitude last year towards fans cheering for Gordon Hayward.
So, to be fair, Jay Crowder does not like Gordon Hayward, but, you know, they've never actually met each other. Maybe they just, like, you know, meet each other, just become great friends, and just, like, you know, love playing positionless basketball together.
Maybe just have a nice day at Faneuil Hall. Maybe get a nice clam chowder. Ooh. A clam crowder.
Ooh, a little bread bowl. Oh. Ooh, baby. All right, so, I mean, like, Bay Crowder and Gordon Bayward can just bond over positionless basketball together.
But, speaking of positionless basketball, how is the starting lineup going to work come next season? Because if we have Thomas at the point guard, do you start Jaylen Brown at shooting guard, or you put Marcus Smart there, or even Gordon Hayward playing the two with Crowder playing the three?
I mean, that's pretty interesting. I would presume you'd probably start the season with Smart at the two. But, I mean, you know, the benefit of positionless basketball is, like, you can, you know, do whatever you want, whatever Brad Stevens desires. You
because
know?
The way I view it is that you play Isaiah at the one, Brown at the two, Crowder at three, or maybe Hayward at three and Crowder at four with Horford at five, which is a pretty small lineup to start with, but I think that winds up being your first lineup going out with Brown. You trusting Brown more than you trust Smart to be in the starting lineup.
Well, yeah, I mean, Brown is definitely, I mean, offensively, Brown can, you know, he can actually drive to the basket, which Smart, you know, and
more capable. Yeah, one might say he's more capable than Marcus Smart.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus Smart has 2 years to prove he can drive to the basket, which he hasn't. But the Celtics still do have that middle of exception for, I believe, about $8 million.
Yeah,
for
the veterans minimum.
Yeah, I think the contract can go up to 4 years. I mean, I know they've been talking about Jamal Crawford. There's other, I mean, big men that they could go after for some rebounding needs, which, you know, might be helpful considering Al Horford is, you know, basically as soft as puppy poo in the paint. And, you know, Marcus Morris was, what, averaged 4 rebounds a game for his career?
Yeah, but the problem is with going after someone like Jamal Crawford, it's you have Gordon Hayward now, so it's how much scoring do you want off the bench compared to how much do you want rebounding? With the mid-level exception, you kind of have to make a decision between the two because you're not going to get someone who can shoot like Jamal Crawford but who can rebound better than Al Horford. So it's a matter of, do you want to secure the inside of the paint, or do you trust your scoring currently enough to do that, or do you want to continue to add to the scoring and hope that the current state of the NBA lends itself more to trying to outscore each other rather than securing rebounds?
Yeah, exactly. And then, I mean, you could also use, instead of using the mid-level exception on Jamal Crawford, Gerald Green is just, you know, bumming it on the streets. I mean, are you really going to get more offensive production from Jamal Crawford than bringing in Gerald Green off the street?
Plus, I think you can probably get Gerald Green for the minimum rather than the mid-level exception, which still keeps you wide open for someone like a defensive rebounder or a defensive presence.
Though, Brendan, you are forgetting about the biannual exception.
I am. Yeah. I don't know what that is.
Which, I think it's $4 million for 2 years. And if you don't use it every other year, that's why it's called the biannual, which I think, you know, math-wise makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So you could bring in, like, a really cheap rebounder, like maybe Dwayne Desmond, maybe
Andrew
for that kind
Bogut.
Of money. Yeah, maybe for that kind of money. So, I mean, it's kind of either, I doubt the Celtics would use both of those in this season. They'd probably try to save the biannual if they use the mid-level.
Yeah, my only problem with Dwayne Desmond is that if a guy is kicked out of San Antonio and Pop doesn't want to resign him, I've heard rumors from you know, San Antonio fans on their forums that he is a locker room presence and not in a good way.
Yeah, if hey, someone, but he is a Boogie Cousins who averages 5 points and 5 rebounds a game, which, you know, is not great.
Yeah, but if someone is kicked out of San Antonio, it's kind of like being kicked out of the Patriots locker room. There's a reason. If Pop doesn't want you, then there's probably something that even Brad Stevens can't save you from.
He's a Chad Jackson. Chad Jackson, Lawrence Maroney type.
Classic guy.
Yeah.
But even speaking to that, someone like Desmond or Andrew Bogut would be beneficial to this team.
Kyle O'Quinn,
who would be great. I don't know if he's a free agent or if he's still...
He might be under contract.
Yeah, I think he's under contract with the Knicks. But even someone like Kyle O'Quinn would be good for this team. Either way, the team is still looking for rebounding, even a defensive presence. And
yeah, a front court of Marcus Morris and Al Horford is not going to get it down on the boards.
With Ante Zizic and Gershon Yabusele.
So with the with trading Bradley, Yabusele is actually going to be on the Celtics.
Technically on the roster. Yeah,
if you live in Maine, you might see Yabusele a lot this year. But he'll be on the roster.
Him and just Demetrius Jackson, if he is able to survive the end of the season. But either way, the trading of Avery Bradley opens up a lot of possibilities for the Celtics coming up on this season. There's still definitely a lot of moves to be made by Danny Ainge by the time the season starts. He's definitely not done. And
Jordan Mickey, his contract, should be just removed from existence.
He's probably going to get cut because he doesn't have a guaranteed contract.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of work to be done in the front court for the Celtics, so we'll see how the rest of the offseason goes. And before the start of the season, I'm sure the way that the roster is currently formatted will not be what you see going into game one.
Yeah.
So, all right. Thank you for listening to episode number 6. We're just trying to ease back into it. Not going to give you a long episode. Just a little tidbit, a little nibble.
Yeah, a little 13-minute nibble. A little subjects. You know, off season. Kind of how you doing? How you be?
Hell yeah! So we'll see you next time. All right.
Yeah. Good night.
Good night.
Or good day, whenever you listen to this. You know,
if you listen to it at all.
Yeah.
Bye.